Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. Welcome to another edition of the New Africa Business Association Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, speaking to you live from Washington, D.C., Bilal Masadik Bynum, and we're bringing on my co-host,
Abdul Aziz Shaheed, and greetings to our audience, and I'm legging Brother Bilal.
Legging Salaam, Brother Aziz, and peace to our audience, and Brother Aziz, of course, we will sort of generalize welcome everybody to the New Africa Business Association, and up to you.
Yes.
Contact us, how they can participate, and certainly how they can go to the website and become members. Brother Aziz.
Yeah, I'd be glad.
For those of our listeners out there,
the New Africa Business Association of Washington, D.C. is on every Wednesday, Eastern Standard Time, from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., and then we go to our second phase from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. for those out on the West Coast. Our contact information for the show every Wednesday is, call-in number is 657-383-1372. Every Wednesday, 657-383-1372. Or you can get and listen to our show on the internet by going to the blogtalkradio.com/NADASSC. That's blogtalkradio.com/NADASSC. Also, if you want to email us, you can email us at newafricaba@gmail.com. That's newafricaba@gmail.com. Or you can contact us at nabassc@gmail.com. And that's, again, nabassc@gmail.com. Thank you very much, and that's how you can contact the New Africa Business Association of Washington, D.C., or listen to our show again every Wednesday at 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that call-in number is 657-383-1372, and thank you. And Brother Bilal, back to you.
Okay, thanks so much, Brother Aziz, for that introduction. And again, this evening, we are giving everybody our discussion this evening. Is going to be financial planning. And financial planning, retirement planning, estate planning, and also banking and retirement planning and financial planning, and we're going to have experts to come in this evening. These experts, will be speaking along with myself on putting together what I would say is a suitability financial portfolio of yourself. A financial report of yourself rather than a portfolio. But anyway, it starts with speaking with a person like myself, a financial planner, an estate planner, accountants. When it comes to suitabilities, we are trying to put together a financial profile. That's the word I was trying to get out, and I couldn't think of them. But no, it's a financial profile that we try to put together. And once we can put together this financial profile, now we will know what professional field we need to have you working with as far as your estate planning, your financial planning, and your retirement planning. So I am going to start off, but before I do, I'm going to make certain that we have our other professionals on with me, and then we will all just continue to share information as we go along. But before I do, Ms. Baker, who is the Ms. Baker, Ms. Williams, and of course Mr. Harris, and each one of them will introduce oneself. I'll start with our attorney, Shalora Williams. Ms. Williams, are you with us?
Hello.
Yes, Ms. Williams, are
Hello.
You with us?
Hello, great.
No, this is Gina Baker.
Okay, Ms. Baker, I was just going to come to you next. Okay, well, we will, as soon as the attorney can come on, we will just go ahead and she will be able to join in. Also, do we have our investment broker, Brother Harris from, he's also with us this evening. He'll be joining us. And he's an investment broker. Brother Harris, are you with us?
Yes, sir. Brother Viner, Brother Aziz, Sister Baker, happy to be on the call with you.
Yes. So
greetings,
again,
yes.
We will, again, I think I will recognize also, and I'll go back, and I think I see Ms. Attorney Williams. Ms. Williams, are you with us?
I'm trying to get on.
Okay, we hear you very well.
Give me a minute.
Okay, okay, welcome to the show. So again, okay, thank you so much. And again, I am going to give the audience a chance to call in before we get started. But in the meantime, I'll just go ahead and. Like I said, I'll start off the conversation, and by then we should have a pretty good audience calling in, and we'll get to each one of us as we go. But I'll start off, like I said, and I'm getting back to the suitability of profile, a financial suitability profile. Again, that's what I would want. If I came into you, and yes, all of you, all of those who are listening, I am going to treat this conversation as if I was right in your room. And so, again, if I came into your place of business or wherever you to talk about your financial retirements, the first thing I would want to collect is a financial suitability a profile of you. And so there are certain information that I would want to collect in order for me as a financial planner, and my job would be to make certain that your retirement from the time that I meet you until you retire, that you will retire with the financial stability. So so that's what my job is to show you that particular picture. And that's what I mean about, and that's what I would be getting from the that suitability information that I am collecting from you. But also in that suitability, there is other information that makes up your financial profile, and that is where you are as we personally meet. I mean, because, again, you may have been on your jobs already 10 or 15 years, so my question when it comes to retirement, where is your profile? Are you where you should be as far as retirement and having a stability in retirement? Are you just don't know and you're not really organized when it comes to a retirement? And so that's what a professional like myself, I would want to come in and really organize that a suitability again, making certain that you are, when you do get to that retirement stage, you would be again financially sound. So again, there's information that I would want to know, and some of those information would include some of the where you are as we meet, such as mutual funds. Do you have a mutual fund? Do you have bonds? Do you have life insurance? Do you have 401ks, CDs, annuities, stocks, savings? In other words, everything that you have going are, and if you don't have these things, those things that you don't have going, that's the suitability picture that as a financial planner, I need to help you to put together. So again, but at the same time, that information that I just mentioned and I probably collected because 9 times out of 10, when it comes to a financial advisor, the first person, especially in my community, domestic African American communities, you will find that when it comes to professional suitability, it's just not done. So again, this is the type of information that we hope that can be informative to our listeners this evening. So again, like I said, these are information that I may come and ask you, such as where are you as far as your mutual funds? Where are you as far as your 401ks, monies that you have? Because, again, the whole thing is about when I get to retirement age, I can annuitize. And annuitize means now that I can live off my monies and I can have it guaranteed paying me for the rest of my life. And that's a picture that you can paint. And when you paint that picture, a financial planner can make that, can make it a realization as far as putting together the figures that you would need to retire. And again, and at whatever age you may be from the time that we speak. But at the same time, some of the information I collect is out of my lane. So I need to go to the accountant because when it comes to my pension plans, the type of, especially if you're a business person, and your accountant is the ones who are going to have to put together all of your financials in order to make certain you are in the right tax brackets. So again, that's why we have the accountants on with me. These professional friends of mine who are on with me this evening, again, brothers and sisters, we all do each other's favors, but we know that our time sharing this type of information, many of our professionals are charging you $150, $200 an hour to sit down and get some of the professional information that you have received tonight. So again, I thank so many of my colleagues for sharing this information, especially to those who in areas sometimes don't have these, especially African-American professionals who can give you this type of information. So again, as a financial planner, that's what I mean about coming in and putting together a suitability financial profile. And there's certain information that I would collect. And with that information, now I can show you a clear picture as far as your financial planning. And remember, the financial planning is involving your estate, of course, your estate planning and your pension planning. And so, and then, of course, a retirement planning. And so, again, we're going to bring on professionals, and I think what I'll do at this point, let's bring on and Miss Baker, Why don't you come in and let me tell the rest of my colleagues, treat this as if, you know, we all can just share information to the public as they come on. So I'm saying you guys are welcome to join. But each one of you, I'm going to try to just give an introduction, a good introduction, and let you speak for yourself before we all interact. So, Ms. Baker, if you would, I would ask you to come on and introduce yourself, and now that we know that that suitability is a part of their pension and taxation, I am going to turn it over to you.
Hello, everyone. This is Gina Baker. I'm from Baker Financial Services. I do accounting, bookkeeping, and taxes. And I guess looking into our topic today is looking at into tax planning as your business, as having a business, and for those that don't have a business, and looking at financial planning for that. Basically, those that don't have a business, looking at your tax situation, you would want to pay less taxes as you get older or get close to retirement. One of the things that I tell most of my clients that are at that age where they're getting ready to retire is to, first of all, you have to do a budget. And with that budget, you have to look at where do you want to live? Because your living expenses at a retirement age is going to be your highest bill, because all the other credit cards and other expenditures, those have become less as you get closer to retirement. So I always suggest to them at least think about where you would like to live. So, because in retirement you want your money to go the longest, and you want to be comfortable, and you want to enjoy a good retirement life. And to those that have businesses, the thing that they need to look at is basically, am I going to continue this business on a part-time basis? Am I going to give this business over to my family? Do I need a business evaluation to see how much this business is worth, to see if I want to sell it? So if you have a business, interfold also with your personal retirement or your personal tax planning, where you're looking to, you know, scale everything down. Those are some of the questions that you need to get answered in order to now have a good portfolio to go to a financial planner.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks so much, Ms. Baker. And so again, that's more as we're just continuing to put together that suitability financial profile. And in that profile, brothers and sisters, we know, as your growth, that profile, that financial profile, as it grow, there is, and many of you may have even inherited stuff. I'm going into now where, like I said, tonight's discussion, we want to make a clear picture of your financial planning. Again, as far as your and Ms. Baker and myself so far have put together how we can make certain that financial planning, whether you're a business or whether it's personal, and of course when it comes to especially a business person, there are so many things that you need the accountant for, because again, you may have you may need pension planning. You may have pension plans. There are so many questions when it comes to and the type of pension plans that you qualify for. So again, yes, you see where the accountant and the financial planner, and then it goes on into now the estate planning. This is where now I have to be concerned about what happens from the day that, again, you meet me as the financial planner until the day that I retire. And at some point, I have to make certain that my estate and everything's in order. So there's a lot of information that I need to know as I grow and as my estate grows and how I can protect myself in so many ways when it comes to that. And to start off, I will say now going back to as a financial planner, the first thing if I walked in, and again, putting together this a financial profile, the first thing I need to know is how much insurance are you carrying? Brothers and sisters, I can tell you right now, the average, if you're not carrying at least $300,000 of insurance, your stake in your family is in a pretty low, I would say a low, pretty, well, we know what happens when African-Americans die and you go to the funerals and the cups and all that are being passed around. Let me just say this. We buy the wrong types of stuff, especially when it comes to insurance. We put a whole lot of money into what is something that is very, very simple. But I say insurance because your estate, you are the estate. You built this estate. It's worth a whole lot of monies. But again, you need to insure that estate. And you can. I would suggest anybody from the age of 18 to at least 50, just simply get yourself a 30-year fixed-term plan. It's probably going to cost you about $30 a month or less. And that's $500,000. I suggest to most of you, though, especially in the professional salary range, $1 million at least. And, of course, again, $35, $40 a month. And for the next 30 years, you now have protected you, the breadwinner that is building this estate. So saying that to say, everything there that you're going to hear from the next person that's going to come in, having the correct amount of insurance can just about cover everything that the accountant and our estate planner will be presenting. Ms. Williams, I am going to turn it over. Attorney Williams, I am going to turn it over to you. Ms. Williams.
Oh, thank you so very much, and I'm happy to join you in this conversation. I want to preface this with whatever I say tonight is basically a legal opinion and sometimes can be stated as a legal fact, but it is definitely a legal opinion. And it is basically in the for the states of the District of Columbia and Maryland. However, you can take what I say in general because each state has its own laws that govern estate planning. This country has over 3,000 counties which govern their particular county. There is one thing for certain and two things for sure. If you have a will that talks about your legacy, what you're leaving people when you die, that will should govern in this whole country. Every state, every county has allowed people to write a will. If you do not have a will, every state, every county will have you your estate split up among the people in order of your heritage, your heirs. And if you are single, the heirs first come to your parents if you have no children. You are single, goes first to your parents if you have no children. If you have children, it stops right there. But if you have no children, you have no parents, then it looks to see if you have any siblings. if you have no siblings, if you have no children, if you have no grandchildren, then it looks to see if you have any aunts, cousins, and down the line. If you are married and you have not gotten a divorce, but you might be separated, it looks to your wife, your spouse, and then your children, et cetera. So basically, that you can take that to the bank. Is it better to have a will or is it better not to have a will? In my opinion, it is better to have a will so that you govern where your finances go, where your assets go, where your legacy is going. Now, let me be clear. If you have an insurance policy in the District of Columbia and in Maryland, that insurance policy governs who's on that policy for beneficiaries. If there's no one listed as a beneficiary, then that insurance policy will go to your estate. So is it better to have a will? Yes. Because then you can say where that money would go. If you don't have a name as a beneficiary. But if you do have a named beneficiary, that those funds go directly to that person. It bypassed the process of what they call probate administration. Now I have learned throughout my time of practicing that a lot of people get confused with the terminology. And I think sometimes the question says, should I get a lawyer? Well, if you get a lawyer to help you write your will, write your power of attorney, write your health care power of attorney, then you can count on the fact that that attorney will use the proper language and orchestrate the documents correctly. Because if the documents are not orchestrated correctly, not executed correctly, then the will may be thrown out, may not be counted. So should you have a lawyer? One question is, yes, I think I should have a lawyer, because when we design these documents, my estate planning documents, I can rest easily that person who is a qualified lawyer in that county, in that state, will do it correctly. And let me give you an example. I know you have heard, Brother Bynum, I know you have heard where a person can sit down at a restaurant and write their will on a napkin, and it will be okay. It'll go through. Well, let me tell you that you can write your will on a napkin, but you better have two witnesses when you sign that will. You better make sure that you date that napkin. If you have a document that says it's my last will and testament, you have not signed it before the witnesses that are required, and some states require two witnesses and a notary. Maybe some states require just a notary. In the District of Columbia and in Maryland, it is two witnesses. Notary for a will is not required. So, but you have to have it done correctly. So there's several sections in a will that you should be aware of, and that is why, I say you should have a lawyer. Now, let me just compare the execution of a will, which you have two witnesses, to the execution of the power of attorney. Now, what is the power of attorney? A power of attorney is a document that helps govern your business while you are alive. There is a durable financial power of attorney. That would mean that if I'm not able to conduct my business because I'm in the house and I can't get out all the time, and I've got to have somebody talk to several important people or my lawyers or my creditors, it's called a durable power of attorney. And that handles your finances or your properties or your creditors. There's another power of attorney, and that is your health care, your advanced health care power of attorney. Some people call it a living will. And that document identifies one to two people who will be able to talk to the doctors while you are in the hospital or while you are ill. Let's say you're a family of 16 brothers and sisters. Well, the doctor can't talk to everybody at the same time or at different times. So you have a person to speak for you, and that person is listed on your last will and testament. I'm sorry, on your living will, and talk to the doctors and translate that information to the following, to your family members. That person also will be responsible saying yay, nay to the medicine that you take. So that's just a general overview of what these documents do. And then do you need an attorney again? Not because I am an attorney, but because of terminology, because of execution, that answer should be yes. Now, I talk about wills and probate and power of attorney, and I don't talk about trust because a trust is a different type of binder, let's say. And I would like, if you were interested, to talk about a trust, to do that off the air. But a trust includes the three documents that I'm talking about right now, the power of attorneys, the healthcare power of attorney, durable power of attorney, and the last will and testament. That's just a general overview. If you have any questions, just plug right in that question and let me try to answer it, which is sometimes the better thing to do. But sometimes I'm frequently asked, when will I need a will or an advanced health care directive or a power of attorney? Now, Brother Bynum and Ms. Baker, I know you would agree with me that given this wonderful pandemic that we have, the answer is now. The answer is right now. And that is because this virus that we're fighting leaves no one untouched. It does not matter how old or how young you are. It leaves no one untouched. And given that 50% of the United States population only is 50% is not vaccinated. Only 50%. Now, they'll tell you in certain states that 70% of their residents are vaccinated or has one shot. But 50% of the people that live in this country are not fully vaccinated. So, and some people won't even take the flu shot, and some people won't even take the shingle shot. So what does that tell you? That tells you somebody is going to get ill. More than one person is going to get ill. Without this virus, a lot of people get ill. And a lot of people have not prepared for their time when they might be ill. I'm going to take a slight breather and just in case there's a caller who might have a question.
Okay. Thanks so much, Ms. Williams. And like I said, each one of us as a professionals are giving an introduction and informative information. And after that, we will all interact with the public with the questions or any statements or what have you. At this time, like I said, brothers and sisters, we still putting together that suitability profile. And so now you've heard again how I put together, make certain that your financial picture is in order from the time I meet you. Started with making certain that you're insured until the time you retire, and making certain that you have a guaranteed retirement. And again, the retirement that you want to have, not a retirement that is hypothetically may or may not come to you. No, you're saying this is what I want, and as a financial planner, I am going to show you this is what you have, and I will have the word guaranteed in my portfolio, my proposal. You will see the word guaranteed, and I can tell you right now, so that's that stability that I say that as a financial planner, I can put in your portfolio. And again, you've heard from the attorney and the accountant on how they can make certain you're in your right tax bracket and your estate and all the other things is secured. Now we're going to go with brothers and sisters, like I said, when it comes to financial planning, myself, I am going to start a look at what is your risk factors in financial planning. You know, depending on your age, do you have a moderate a risk factor? And depending on your age, can you be much more aggressive in your financial planning and your allocations from your annual financial reports? Which means this: if my financial returns or my financial portfolio shows me where there is some funds now where I can get away from maybe being so conservative in my planning and to being much more aggressive. So at this point, I am going to bring on a good friend of mine who is also licensed as an investment broker. And so he will be able to give us some real, real good information when it comes to financial planning. And Brother Harris, I know you are you with us?
Yes, sir, Brother Bynum. Thank you for putting this together, Attorney Williams and Accountant and Advisor Baker. Just thank you for your comments. They're right on point. What I like to do before I get into who I am and some of the things that we believe you can do to build on those financial principles that have been alluded here this evening. When it comes to financial planning, most people don't plan to fail. They fail to plan. If you don't have a plan in place, you need to get with Ms. Baker or some financial advisor person in your area and get a plan so that you know where you're going financially. Currently, right now, in the African-American community, our families, our businesses are in ICU. The best way for us to get out of this is to start with a plan that we can design that can help us win, because we're going to be sitting with experts, professionals, helping us have the right asset allocation, the right risk factor for what we want to take, as well as protecting the things that we are trying to accumulate as far as assets. Your will, your trust will help you protect those things so that it can be there for future generations. I've been in this business for quite some time, a little over 28 years. I started out my career as a financial advisor, selling 401ks and simples to small businesses all over the country. I have delivered death claims. So when Brother Bynum was talking about the needs of having the proper insurance coverage, there is nothing like delivering a death benefit to a family that's lost a loved one. They are in an emotional state, but they don't have to be in a financial emotional state, because mm-hmm. their loved one took time to properly plan and that those families will continue moving on as if that person never left. So that's what insurance does for you. That's what great financial planning does, as well as making sure that you have the will and the trust in place. Now, as you have those things in place, you want to grow your wealth and the assets that you have. So you want to look at different asset classes outside of maybe mutual funds or bonds or annuities and other forms of asset classes that you may invest in. We particularly believe that real estate assets is the cornerstone of wealth. We believe that land is the essence of wealth. If you have land, you can develop it, create an entity that can generate cash flow for generations to come. They're not making any more new land. If you have someone that says they're manufacturing antiques, you better run. But there is no more land being made. If you have the opportunity to hold on to a family property or a commercial property that you might have acquired, as things move forward, you want to do that. Quick statistic. Currently right now in the African-American community, we spent over $1.5 trillion of funds over the last 12 months. We do not currently have an African-American-owned bank that has over $5 billion of assets. We do not currently have an African-American mortgage company that underwrites mortgages for African-American families. We strongly need more high-growth entrepreneurs in the African-American community, so that is another asset class, owning a business, owning a high-growth business that will allow you to be able to plan and do some of the things that Advisor Baker had spoke about and Attorney Williams talking about, protecting yourself by having the proper will or trust set up. If the African-American community was ranked as a nation or a country, there's 195 nations in the world that adhere to the Financial Stability Act and measures their GDP the way that America does. If we were to take the wealth of the African-American community and the spending power, the African-American community will be ranked 16th out of 195 nations. That is powerful, Brother Bynum.
Yes.
We desperately need to make sure that we are harvesting that wealth, putting it through good financial instruments so that we can build future generations and have wealth beyond measures. I was on a financial call earlier with Dr. Dennis Kimbrio. If you don't know him, he's a well-renowned author, and one of the things that he wrote in his book, Black Wealth, he says the power of our wealth is in our network, and money is a tool. As you listen to these expert advisors this evening, you want to know that money is not something foreign. It's not something to be misrepresented. It's not something for you to take for granted. It is a tool for you to build wealth. So here are three key factors that I want to end up, and then I'll give you a little bit about myself here at the end. Number one, I want you to think about what is your FIN number. You may be asking, what are you talking about? What is your FIN number, your financial independence number? Everyone has one. In order to identify what your financial independence number is, you have to get with an advisor to help you determine what that number would be for you and for your family. So what I would recommend, if you're on this call, you're listening online, or you're listening to the replay, please get your financial independence number. We're in times that we've never seen before. And as Attorney Williams was talking about, COVID-19 is no perspective of person. Everyone can get it. You never know when that moment may come. But if you have your financial house in order and you know what your financial independence number is, at least your family They're going to miss you, but they don't have to struggle moving forward because no one planned for your untimely death, or no one planned for a disaster, or no one planned for unforeseen circumstances. So please get your financial independence number. It's what we refer to in the financial advisor world as your FIN number. You need to know your FIN number. See, everyone knows their SIN number. What is your SIN number? That is your social insecurity number. For most of us on this call, we may not get social security. So you better make sure that you're working with an advisor to be able to get your financial independence number. Second point, when it comes to accumulating wealth in America, there is no greater asset that I personally believe than having a real estate portfolio within your asset class. It's very important. I'm not saying you have to be 100% real estate, but you should have a significant amount of real estate. Currently, right now, of the 2,000 billionaires in the world, they have more than 9 real estate assets that's producing them income on a daily basis. Most billionaires have no debt. They don't want any debt. They want wealth to continue. One of the greatest ways to have cash flow coming in is owning a real estate property, whether it be a multifamily unit, whether it be a single family, a commercial building, hotel development. You should get with a real estate broker advisor to allow you to be able to find the right type of properties for you and your risk tolerance so that you can be able to build wealth not only for yourself but for those future generations to come. And then last but not least is that each of us needs all of us. If you learn something about how this financial planning game works and planning for yourself, the best thing that you can do is pass it on to your neighbor, to one of your loved ones, to your friends or family. Please don't be a secret agent. Don't get this information and keep it to yourself, because our community right now is on ICU, and we all need each other in order to rise out of what we're in. Our ancestors did not die in vain. Our ancestors did not give their blood, sweat, and tears for us to be taken and squandering the wealth that they so desperately seek but couldn't get. We have all the resources and universities and technologies, advantages that they wish or never could have seen possible for themselves to have. We have to make sure that we are reaching back, each one teach one, and helping us rise our communities so that our young people have something to look forward to. And I'll end with this. My name is Sam Harris. I am a real estate broker, a developer, investment broker for large commercial projects all over the United States. We've made a conscious commitment to the African-American community that we're going to rebuild what's called the Black Wall Street District, the Black Belt District, all over America. If you know somebody that's looking for real estate, I don't know a better place for them to call an African-American broker, whether it's us or someone else. Please make sure you do that. I have more than 28 years of investment experience, development experience. The name of my company is Sam Jin Residential Commercial Realty. We're one of the premier real estate companies in the market that help people build wealth through real estate. So, Brother Bynum, I yield back, and I thank you.
Okay, thanks so much, Brother Harris. Make certain everyone gets each of all of our professionals' telephone numbers and information. Again, I'll start with Ms. Williams. Any comments anyone wishes to make, please make them. But Ms. Williams, coming back to you, make sure now. Any comments, but make certain you have the information where they can get in touch with you. And I want all of our listeners to know, like a Brother Harris know, and he's one of us now, and he knows that our station, when we do these stations, we know that there are commercial statements that are taken over once we get off the air, and they have us all over the place out there. So, again, the information, this professional information that you professionals are sharing tonight is going to go into a lot of communities. So make certain that you are rewarded by the audience knowing how to get in touch with you. And so I'll come back to you, Ms. Williams.
Well, thank you very much. First of all, my name is Shalora Williams. I am located in Largo, Maryland at 1450 1450 Mercantile Lane, Suite 155, Largo, Maryland, 20774. My telephone number there is 301-341-5577. My email address is sacw@verizon.net. Brother Bynum, I just want to say the young man, Mr. Harris, talked about real estate. And let me say you should buy real estate right now because it's harder for an African-American or a person of color to get real estate. But it's easier for other people to get real estate. And what they do, they buy one piece of property, then they buy another piece of property, and then they buy another piece of property. When you have real estate, you buy a house and you have children and you can leave your child at home, you have left a legacy for them to build up on. And not saying that apartments and condos is not anything. It is. It's a lot. But right now, with the pandemic taking out over 700,000 people in this country, and I can guarantee you all 700,000 did not have a will, did not have a trust, did not have real estate, did not have an insurance plan, did not have an accountant to tell them what to do with their money. You should not make the same mistake.
Brother Harris, you know I got to come back to you. You're dying to follow up on what because we just wish she had been with us so many times and knowing more about what we are doing at this point. But I had to come back to you before I go to Miss Baker. I know because I'll be dying to follow up on that.
Oh, absolutely. And Advisor Baker is absolutely right. Real estate is the cornerstone of building wealth. And right now is the best time to buy. And the best place to buy isn't in the African-American community. If you look across the map, the best places, the best locations are the hood. The place that people call the hood that used to be predominantly white, they left it to us because it was ran down. Now that things have switched, they're coming back to the inner cities because they want it back. What we're saying to African-American professionals and families, let's get together and buy the block so that we can own and control and create what we call black belt districts. We need to make sure that we're heavily invested into owning our community so that we can control the narrative for the future generations. I will provide my information, Brother Bynum. My company is SamGen Residential Commercial Realty. And we also own a mortgage lending company as well. That mortgage lending company is Blue Dolphin Capital. So you can reach us at area code 813-444-4871 if you need any residential or commercial lending. We do lending and development in 42 states when it comes to finance. On the real estate side, if you need real estate and you need advice on that, our telephone number is 813-358-5947. We're located in beautiful Tampa, Florida, and I have to put this plug in, the home of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the only team to win the Super Bowl on the home field advantage.
Let it beat us on up until it changes. Miss Baker, we're going to come to you now. Any comments you'd like to make, but make certain, like I said, that our audience can get in touch with you.
Yeah, I guess the comment that I want to make, especially to business people, just like you said, when they get ready to look at their financial planning, one of the things, just like you said, is having that insurance built into their financial plan and covering that aspect, because a lot of business people don't think about that insurance and they don't have it going along in their business to pay it because it's the last thing that they think about. But, you know, I mean, it's better late than never. You have to start at some particular point when you are getting to the age of retirement. And then another thing is having a business plan and a budget as to what are you going to do with this business? Where is this business going to go? Is it going to be willed to the family, or are you going to sell it? So a business evaluation, and doing a business evaluation, you've basically have got to look at the worth of your company, which a lot of businesses don't do because they don't have the financials as they go along. Financials are history, and it's history of your company, and it's history of your life. If that's what you have, it's just if you're a self-employed person or you have your own company, it's really a history of your life. So that's one of the things that I like to wrap up with. And then if you're a personal person that, you know, looking at tax-wise and some of this money that you're getting this here and there and from different avenues, as pensions and buyouts and things like that, I tell most people, hold on to your cash because cash is always needed to have in retirement. Don't sink it into something until you figure out what that budget is, what your goal is, and where you're going. My name is Gina Baker, and my company is Baker Financial Services. I'm located in Dallas, Georgia. That's right outside of Atlanta, Georgia. I can be reached on 301-332-6015.
Ms. Baker, if you allow me to ask you to speak about, and I know you know this, and you touched on it for a moment. When people establish businesses, the last thing that they put together is how does that business dissolve? Last thing they also... The other thing they don't think about is when it does dissolve, does this business go to my partner? If it's an LLC, if it's a partnership, where does my business go? Does it go to my family? I have that question a lot, and people, they do not have what they call a articles of organization.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, Ms. Baker, that's where I really wanted to take you for a second, because I know you and I have sort of fallen into this somewhat, and that is when it comes to like I said, the pensions and the different types of businesses and the different types of qualifications. So and what Miss Williams just brought up, I was going to ask you to maybe give us some good information when it comes to C corporations, S corporations, sole proprietors, partnerships, LLCs, sole proprietorships and partnerships, LLCs taxations, LLCs taxes as a corporation, that type of information. If you would just generally share. Because when it comes to many African Americans and many individuals who don't get financial planning, and when it comes to businesses and what types of businesses and what do I qualify, I don't think they have that very much information. So if you could just generalize, and I was going to take you there, and I'm glad Miss Williams, but. This is what I was hoping you would give a lot of information. I'm asking you to still give information, and we got good time. So again, if you would, like I said, the C corporations, the SO proprietors, partnerships, et cetera, et cetera. Ms. Baker.
Okay. Well, first I like to start with, I guess, what is a sole proprietor? Sole proprietor is basically, you know, a self-employed person. It's really, if you're just looked at basically with your Social Security number. So some people do operate like that, but if you're looking at a sole proprietor operating at a Social Security number, that's looking at you as a person. So you're looking at having personal financials because everything is personal. If we look at a person that gets an LLC, if you get an LLC, okay, so now you're incorporated. And you're incorporated, and so therefore within your business, you have to do your articles and you have to do your operating agreement. So in that operating agreement, you state all the things financially, legally, everything in there as to how you operate. And some of the things, just like you said, in how your business started, how your business ended, in which a lot of LLC companies don't really do an operating agreement. Until they have to. Okay, as we get to partnership, a partnership is a partnership agreement. It has to be made between two people. Same thing, just like I said, in that partnership agreement, you have to spell out a lot of the things as to what happens to the business, who has certain percentages and things like that. When you get to an S-Corp, an S-Corp is a hybrid between an LLC and a corporation. It's the same thing. They have to basically come up with an operating agreement. And they also have to do bylaws and articles. When you get to a corporation is an entity that stands on its own. It's separated from its owner far as tax-wise. So a corporation is not really, it's set up on its own. So it is tied to the owner if you are the owner. But in this world, it's set up on its own. So therefore, you still have to do the bylaws and the articles. And all that's in the bylaws and you have to do an operating agreement to show the same thing, to show who gets what. And with a corporation, it's a little bit more detailed. Okay, an S-Corp, just like I said, is a hybrid between LLC and an S-Corp, meaning that you do have the protection, some of the protections of a corporation, but you have some of the same write-offs as an LLC. Okay. And far as tax-wise, an S-Corp is basically all that information rolls into your personal. Mm-hmm. So the protection of all of them is to have a type of operating agreement along with the bylaws. So it just depends on what entity you're in. And to getting that information. Working with a lot of small businesses, if they're not required to do it, most of them will not do an operating agreement.
That is correct.
And it only hits them when one of the parties passes away, or does not do what they're supposed to do, and there is a court case against them.
Right. That's usually when they try to develop one. If someone dies or it's some disagreement within the entity or with a LLC, if someone tries to sue them.
and don't get a divorce. try not.
Yeah.
Four.
You know,
so an operating agreement, as soon as you form a company, you should form an operating agreement. So you'll have everything spelled out. Because in that operating agreement, it also is spelling out your assets, the assets of the company.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's very important.
And if it's a private thing, it's not your spouse, it's not your brothers, it's not your children, you'd want that operating agreement because if you get a divorce, if you die, you have control over where your interest goes.
And the other thing is that with the different structures of corporations set up, like on the real estate side, having an LLC partnership, depending on what you're trying to do, gives an individual also advantages from taxes as well. So depending on what the structure is and what you're trying to do, a lot of our clients, they structure LLCs and partnerships depending on how big the development is or the real estate asset is. So these things are very important for you if you are an entrepreneur or someone that is thinking to scale their business. You need to have not only set up right with these operating agreements, but you also need to have a business plan that can kind of give you a gauge. It goes back to what we started in the beginning of the conversation. Financial advisors provide you with a path forward, how to build wealth and accumulate wealth by having a plan of action of what to do. So I would encourage the people that are listening, make sure that you get a plan for your business as well. We desperately need more high-growth entrepreneurs in the African-American communities because outside of real estate, outside of investments, probably the second most lucrative way and the best way to build wealth is the ownership of a business that builds wealth through the services and products that it offers. Because when businesses have an evaluation, those things can be 5X, 10X, 20X, depending on what it is. I tell people like this. Imagine this. If you had the ability to invest into an opportunity zone. An opportunity zone is in every city, every state, every county in America. It's 8,762. Opportunity zone legislation allows for individuals that have capital gains from this great planning that they have done. They might have bought Apple computer or Microsoft or something. Now they have capital gains. You can take those capital gains and put into an opportunity zone project or an opportunity zone fund. And as you place that money there, if you had $100,000 capital gains, you put that money to work, you're going to get your reduction on the capital gains within the 5 years, 7 years was the window. That time frame now is to 5 years because most people have missed the seven-year opportunity. But here's the kicker. If that money stays in that opportunity zone fund in that blighted area that has been pointed out under the census tract, if that $100,000 grows to be worth $1 million 10 years, one day from now, on all the growth of that $100,000, the $900,000 will be tax-free. Now, here's what's even bigger than the tax benefit on the capital gains. If you are an entrepreneur, and your business is titled as an opportunity zone business, and you're in an opportunity zone, let's say that you started the next great technology revolution or the next green technology or the next great legal mind that has come up with a concept that can change the world, and your business is located in the opportunity zone. If your business is there for 10 years, one day, on all the growth of your business, you pay zero taxes. That is a game changer for the African-American community. I would encourage not only CPAs, lawyers, financial advisors, business people, understand how opportunity zones work because that's going to allow you to be able to build what I call reparations vertically. So it's very important that we get astute, get with individuals within our marketplace, in our communities that understand opportunity zone legislations so that we can win.
Brother Harris, I want to just interject with you here because, like I said, as professionals, I'm asking all of my colleagues to just come in and make comments as we go along. But, Brother Harris, opportunity zones, and of course we know this goes back to one of the really the Obama's administration, and you informed me that it was Donald Trump that had the legislation passed. But this opportunity zone that you're talking about, to me personally, is telling African Americans professionals who left our communities years ago because of integration, it's telling them to go back home. And it's giving them the opportunity to become very, very rich if they would build up their own black communities. And the government is giving you all of these grants. So again, if you're a business, you're uptown in some doing your business, uptown out of the black community, but it's the black communities that's bringing you their business from that black community. Why not go right on into the black communities? And the government is saying, we're going to give you this opportunity zoning thing. See, this zoning thing, it ain't doing nothing but trying to clean up redlining and all of the discrimination that came through redlining. So, again, yes, these cleanups that are being made, we need to take the opportunities on many of them because there's so many of them yet to come, and they have to come. But the ones that we have right now, what you're talking about, a bill, and this is what the New Africa Business Association has been talking about for the last 6 years, African Americans become invested, financially vested in their own communities and start growing their communities. And now the profits that you're making, you don't even have to worry about taxes because they're giving us the opportunity to come back home. And like you said, our professionals that's paying all kinds of high this and that to run their business uptown, come on back home. Build the businesses right there in your own black communities where the cost is much cheaper, and my goodness, your profits are going to be much, much higher. And then you can become even more vested financially to grow your community. So this is what all of our professionals on here, like I said, I thank them so much because, you know, most of you, wherever you are, you're not going to have the opportunity to have a financial planner, an estate planner, an accountant, an investment and banker. These folks ain't going to have, are you joking? But because the New Africa Business Association, and we're so committed to our association, and we said we was going to give up our valuable time to do what? To help our communities. And in this case, we're talking about putting together your, like I said, village. And remember, I started talking about in the beginning the suitability, a financial profile, and asking you questions. Again, from those questions, look at the information that you have received so far. So again, I can't do nothing, but I'm going to leave it up. I'm going to go to the audience now and give all of our listeners, anybody who have any comments or like to say or ask any questions, we welcome you to the program. And I'll come back and we'll come back and we'll just continue until we close out the show. But any questions that you have for any of our professionals or any comments, and any comments from our professionals, our mics are open now to everyone. Welcome to the show.
Yes, Brother Bynum, I did have a comment on the opportunity zones. What's really unique about it is that every professional can take advantage of this legislation and create wealth for their families, but the most important thing is for us to reclaim our African-American communities. Right now, there are over 100 African-American cities that have been left behind by 50 years. The only way that we can rebuild them is that we have to get large amounts of capital to reinvest in there. So if we have financial advisors that are listening, CPAs, attorneys, that you have clients that have large net worths and that they're in need of capital gain tax breaks, they really should look at investing into Opportunity Zone funds and projects within Opportunity Zones. So I would like to just to let everyone know that we do have an Opportunity Zone fund that, Brother Bonham, I did send you the information for you to review. We're launching that at the end of November. We'll have all of our final legal work done, and it will be a fund that will invest into African-American businesses all over the country. So what we require for someone to get access to capital from the fund, they need to have a business plan. They need to have a viable service that can do some good for our community, and it needs to be the type of business that we can scale. So if you know anyone that has a restaurant that may be franchisable, that has a legal service that may be franchisable, a real estate brokerage, a hospitality business, a car business, a new technology company, we're looking for all types of businesses to invest in. If they can go to our website, which would be samgenrealty.com, go to the comment section, and let us know how we can help. We just want to make sure that our communities are able to be ready for prime time. By 2030, the objective is to have these communities online to where they're self-sufficient and that they're producing the outcomes that all the communities that currently surround us are doing. There's no reason for our communities not to thrive like the Hispanic communities, like the Asian communities, like the Caucasian communities. The only reason they're not is that we as African Americans, we've been waiting for somebody to show up and do it for us. We really have to do this ourselves.
You know, I agree with you, Brother Harris, but I want to connect what you're saying with what with Ms. Baker. This is Shalora Williams again. Ms. Baker will remember, and I guess we all would agree, that we should not miss out a future opportunity as you offer, Mr. Harris, because we've already missed out on a current and past opportunity. When this pandemic hit, Ms. Baker will let you know, she could probably have hundreds of clients, and Mr. Bynum too, who failed to qualify for all of the grants and loans that the government was offering small businesses. And even offering that now, opportunity with this package, this new bill passes, in any shape, form, or fashion, it will help small businesses. But what we said earlier, if you don't have a vision, put down on paper and an idea and a roadmap, no one is going to look at your idea.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. And one of the things that Attorney Williams and Advisor Baker, both of you have really great practice as well as Brother Bynum. I am willing to commit to, if you have clients that just want to know information about real estate, not do business with us, but they need information, they need data. We have access to all the real estate information that you can ever want to have. So if you have a client that is looking to develop something, sell something, before they do it, just allow us the opportunity to be able to be that resource. And then the same thing for your business. I have clients all the time that have needs for an attorney with your skill set, Attorney Williams. And I have clients that need advisory services and accounting services. So I think if we, as advisors on this call and the ones that are listening, if we can be intentional by saying, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to intentionally make sure that we identify key components to the financial structure to where our clients can win and get them in contact with a preferred professional through the New Africa Business Association, because where we're lacking is not our abilities, not our experience, not our education. It is our ability to connect with each other and do business with each other. Because if we can do that, a lot of those small businesses that were not ready for prime time, that could not get any benefits done, there are other professionals that are around the country that can help them get ready. I know of a great banking institution. All they do is what is called technical assistance. For those businesses that fail to be ready, that's within your network, let's get them in contact with someone that has already have funding to get them more prepared for the next wave. And if we continue to practice what we call group economics, not only by doing business with each other, but making sure that we're connected as professionals.
Brother Harris, let me just say, there have been promises out there. I don't know what makes yours different, and I guess people have to know that. And I guess we have to make sure that we tell, where I know how old I am. I know I have to prepare for a legacy for those who come after me, grandchildren, children. That's what we're building when you talk about 2030, 2035, 2040. But what somebody has to understand, because Ms. Baker tried to get people to understand she would walk them through those grants and those loans, and they are still out there because a lot of that money has not been used. And then there's Brother Bynum, who has the financial planning. Now, the question we have to ask ourselves is that as talented as we are on this program and in person, why isn't it so hard to convince people to plan for their own future, not for our future, but for their future? I don't know what that problem is. I don't know how to resolve it.
I can give you the answer, Ms. Williams. I've been hitting this a long time. The answer is that our community was neglected for so long that we don't believe we deserve to have any of this stuff, and that we should just wing it, or that we should just go through the motions. And that's not how you can create a legacy or create wealth. It has to be something that you plan. So I think through sets of education and by us being intentional and saying the things that people may not want to hear, but tell them what they need to hear. You know, like what we tell our clients, don't tell me that you can't do business with an African-American professional because they won't deliver service. They give you bad service. That's a belief that's been implanted in our community, and it's not true. So what we have to say is, listen, if you go to an African-American business and you get bad service, why don't you tell them, look, brother or sister, I'm going to give you another chance, but I expect to get service how I'm going to get service across town. I want to continue doing business with you, but in order for me to do that, you're going to have to change some things. But it all comes back to education, being intentional, saying the things that people don't want to hear but what they need to hear. And we, as professionals, we got to stop sugarcoating it. We have to start seeing the hard reality to kind of shake people up. As an example, I don't know if you know Terry Roundtree. He's a financial advisor out of Atlanta. He's a very successful guy. And one of his clients is Usher. Usher made three albums that were super successful. He blew all his money. 2004, he goes into Mr. Roundtree's office downtown Atlanta, say, look, I really need some help. I want to, you know, figure out how do I get, you know, assets, because right now I don't even know what I have. So Mr. Roundtree said, bring me everything you got. He says, bring me everything that you bought, everything that you own. He gets to his office. He's flipping through all of Usher's financial documents, cars that he's bought for $100,000, furs, trips, plastic surgery, wine excursions, all liquor, nothing that had a value to it other than for the person that he bought it from. It was a value for them because they increased their business. So he says, I've had enough, because he says, most of my clients that I deal with, they don't do these type of things. This is interesting. So he set Usher down and gave Usher what's called a personal financial statement. And Usher started filling out the personal financial statement because Usher was just like a lot of people in our community. Never had any money, so they blow it, don't know what to do with it. As he's filling out the financial statement, Usher stands up. Says, I'm not going to do this. And Mr. Rountree says, why? He says, this is a McDonald's application. So what Mr. Rountree did is he gave him a McDonald's application as the first part of his personal financial statement because he told Usher, if you keep doing the things that you're doing, you're going to wind up working there because that will be the only job that you can get because you're wasting your money and you're wasting your talent by not properly planning. That's how we overcome our clients. We have to be intentional and do things that shock them to get them on track to do what they need to do for their families.
And listen, thanks so much. But I also thanks so much, both of you. But, you know, Brother Harris, it goes back also to what we actually talked about last week, and that is African-Americans, our communities, we have all kinds of intellectual community events and meetings that goes on in our communities, but we have no economical, none of them involve business. There are no agendas for any of our communities, and if you look at all of the agendas that go on in the communities, I notice even here in Washington, D.C., and I notice even the mayor's agenda, and it gets to a lot of the events. But when it comes to African-American communities, there are no business meetings. I don't care whether you're in the major cities or you in the rural areas. The same situation continues. You have a black community that has been redlining. Red lines have gone through them to keep financial businesses out of their communities. But I am saying, and that redlining has cost even mentally. But again, when it comes to an agenda that has anything to do with business, we have never had business meetings or a business agenda going on in our communities. We have our frat business and our fraternities and our CPA meetings and all of our teachers' meetings and all kinds of meetings go on in our communities. Minister meetings and prayer night meetings, but no business meetings. No.
Absolutely.
And every other community, they're having business meetings all the time. Go right here. Just join right in.
One of the things, just like you said, in experiencing, not, I guess, at the Usher level, we're talking about some of these little small businesses that's trying to actually make it. This funding and all of this money that's out there now, this is to help the small business. But just like you said, it's that complication in, number one, financials, number two, trust in what they're presenting to you. It's government money. They're going to ask the questions. You have to fill this out according to their terms. It's not your terms.
Right.
Understanding that process and being patient with that process, that's the problems we have in our black community is the trust factor and them not basically understanding the paperwork and the patience of how do you apply for this money.
Right.
But the money is out there. The money right now, if you're a small business, this is the best opportunity that you could have. I've been in business for 30 years to actually grow your business, be successful, and be wealthy. But for those that abuse it, it's another story. Those that don't understand it and don't trust anyone to submit the paperwork or whatever complications they have, I mean, they're losing out. They're losing out of the best opportunity because when they cut these types of programs off, it's going to be sink or swim.
That's right.
Let me just throw in this little tidbit. Every January, every July, the District of Columbia lists all these properties that are up for tax sale. Now, in the district, if you buy a property for tax sale, it takes a minute, but what happens? You pay the taxes, and then that person has 6 months to pay you back and pay your attorney back, no more than $2,500 for your attorney, to get that certificate back. If they don't get the certificate back, you could possibly file for a quick claim deed. Now, what most investors do who have the money and the connection, they buy up blocks. But we're not there to buy it. We're not at the table to buy up a block. I don't know how they do it in other counties, but I know how they do that in the District of Columbia. That happens every year.
It's happening all over the country. I mean, they buy up the block, and there is a lot of capital out there with the government program. I can remember when the COVID-19 hit, Brother Bob and I talked about it before. So many of our businesses were not ready, and a lot of times they were not ready because they were getting bad information. So one of the things that we discovered is that a lot of CPAs in the business, and it's not to any person on this call because you guys do the right thing, but a lot of CPAs would tell their clients, you want to write down all these deductions and you want to have zero income. So what was happening on that line 31, when they were trying to apply for these funding, it was showing that they had a negative income, so you couldn't qualify for the funding.
What their taxes had said in 19, because if you had did your taxes in 19, if that's what you reported, that's what it is. So it was line 31. But I'm just talking about the people that had did theirs already, but people that was trying to produce theirs, it should have been that you would have to show a profit on that line 31 in order to get the PPP.
Yeah. Right,
once President Biden came back and said, okay, we're going to look at the growth, that made it more fair for small business instead of looking at the net.
Right, when we got to the growth,
it's just a lot of them still did not have the paperwork to substantiate the growth because a lot of them keep all of this information in their head. And I'm not talking about Usher companies and stuff like that. I'm talking about some of these small businesses under $150,000.
Most of the businesses that I work with are small businesses. So what I'm saying is that there's a group of professionals, right or wrong or indifferent, have given their clients advice prior to this happening to where you want to have a low income. So what I do finance on a daily basis, I can't tell you how many African-American businesses get turned down because they don't show enough income. They're not paying themselves enough. So what we have to do is educate our clients that, look, you got to start paying yourself a certain amount of income. I don't care if you made $150,000 is your total gross. You should be paying yourself at least $50,000 because you can qualify for something. But if you're only getting $10,000 that's shown on your line 31, you ain't going to get qualified for nothing. And if it's a negative, you definitely not going to get anything.
Yeah, but the reason why most of the small businesses do that because they don't want to pay the self-employment tax.
I come from a different philosophy of financial advising. I love paying taxes. The reason why you can't outpay the goose that lays the golden egg, when you pay taxes as a business person, there are ways to write it off. There are ways for you to come down to a zero without having to sacrifice income as an individual. How do you think Trump does it? How do you think all these wealthy people do it? They take write-offs because they're using the tax code to be able to benefit themselves from a wealth standpoint.
Brother Harris.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
That is true.
But that's at that level.
But that's at a small level. See, listen.
Before you get
to $1 million, you got to be at 100,000.
Brother Harris.
You got to be at 100,000 when you get to a million, right? You don't just go to a million.
But most small businesses want to write off the whole 100.
But that is incorrect if you want to qualify for being able to get financing.
That's the part that they need to be educated about because they don't understand that process.
Exactly. They have to be educated.
Because they've been doing this write-off for years. I'm going to write this off. I'm going to write grandma's insurance off. I'm going to write all this stuff off.
The industry has been telling our folks to write it off. Guess what? The white people don't do that.
I work with them all the time.
They don't do it.
I know that. I've been doing taxes for 30 years, so I know that. And I know they don't want to pay taxes. That's why they try to write off everything, at that level. That's why when it came for the PPP, none of them qualified until President Biden went back and said, look at your growth. When they look at the growth, that looks better. And then now I can give you some seed money. Here it is, some free money.
But the way it was structured before, a lot of people still lost.
Right. You know what I'm saying? But they still get lost once the growth got out there too because it's gathering the information out of their head or out of the bank account to prove what you got to prove. Because the government is messing with government money. You got to present the proper paperwork.
Because that is not the answer. The answer is the industry has purposely taught our people the wrong way when it comes to filing your taxes and taking advantage of these types of loopholes. So it's put us into a situation, no matter what benefits come forward. Ma'am, I'm not going to talk over you. Please don't talk over me.
When there's a group of people who benefit from the wrong way, that can't be the wrong way. That's one way. Our problem is, ma'am, what I'm telling you, the wrong way from a financial standpoint,
when you're going to qualify to be able to get financing to grow your business. If your tax documentations don't qualify you for the business, you're doing something wrong because you can't get the loan. That's what the problem is. Our community has been taught wrong. You want to pay yourself. You want to be able to take deductions.
Well, we can disagree.
But that's like you said,
more of them need to be educated because they don't understand.
They haven't been taught wrong. The fact of the matter is when we get them, they've already started. And so we get them in the middle or at the end or when they're in trouble.
But I'm not talking about you individually as a professional. When I'm saying the industry, when you look at the industry overall, the lack of education for African-American entrepreneurs has been lacking in our community. So when we get something, it's a bit and pieces of it. It's not the whole story. You know, we got to be like Paul Harvey. Give me the rest of the story.
I'm not gonna say it's been lacking. It's been in our community. Some of our people do not take advantage of it. You always have the SBA. You always have all of those free classes you can go to learn about how to start your business. I've been involved in the government side of it and going to some of those classes sometimes to solicit business because I know they need my services. But when just like you said, if they go to those classes, some of them are trying to get the education, but they do not follow up. That That's the problem that you have, and that's repetitive all over. It's like we don't say we don't have the education, because we do. It's just that when you go to these classes, what do you get out of it? How are you going to proceed forward? You know what I'm saying? Which some of them do not follow the right action.
And that's different because than being taught wrong.
I'm just saying, but the SBA and all of that is places where they tell you how to keep your finance, how to start your business.
But again, the SBA is part of the problem, too. So, listen, when we're getting all this free money, realize.
And SBA is a product. SBA is a part of it, too. But just like you said, it is some type of education out there. It just depends on how the business owners interpret it toward their business and how much work they want to put into it. Just like we said, financial information and financial to most people that don't have education about it, it's a sore spot to deal with.
Okay.
You know?
And Ms. Baker, Brother Harris, and Ms. Williams, if I, again, and the audience, you know, you are very privileged to have professionals sort of having this professional discussion. And I sort of allowed it because you can see how complicated information can be even when it comes to professionals. That's why I always say we must stay in our lanes. As a financial planner, yes. As a financial planner, I have, and just like Brother Harris, we have all kinds of information that many times we take to the accountant and inform them of, because, again, we are the frontliners when it comes to financial, the markets and what have you. But at the same time, when it comes to accounting, as a financial planner, I do not do your accounting. Like I said, this is what this suitability that I start talking about in the beginning. As a 9 times out of 10, you're going to have a financial planner, which would be an agent or an agent broker. That's who 9 times out of 10 you'll get introduced to. That agent or agent broker will do the services that we are licensed to do, and that is to make certain that your retirement from the time I met you until the time you retire, and there's stability in your retirement. And I can say even guaranteed stability. But in the meantime, there are other financial situations that you have to be aware of. And this is what I mean about having business meetings in our communities. Just think if we had professionals like you're hearing right now giving you professional information, and then getting together and being very objective with each other, and how much the community can learn, because, again, you're getting the facts. And you're getting professionals who said, "Oh, you can do this, you can do that," and blah. And this is what we as professionals can do. But in the meantime, when there is a conclusion, your financial order should be in positions. But as you can see, there are many twists and many turns and many opinions. But when it comes right down to facts. And when it comes down to facts, my lane and my license as a financial planner says this. And again, the accountant's lane and facts says that. And the state attorney's, her license all says that. So in other words, what I'm saying, we must stay in our professional lanes. So again, with that said, we still got about 15 or 20 more minutes, but brothers and sisters, you are being in for a real treat. And I am going to open our mics back up, And any questions or any things, any information you got from this information that you're gathering, you have a chance to talk about it. And welcome, and we'll get back into our discussion. Ms. Baker, I think I left off with you, and I'll throw it back to you, Ms. Williams, to any of us, Ms. Brother Harris. We look forward still to your comments. Before I do that, I do want to go to my co-host, Brother Aziz. We got a few moments here. Again, as you can see, the value of the New Africa Business Association and what we can present. So let our listeners know how they can become members of the New Africa Business Association so we can continue to bring this type of information to our communities, because, like I said, there are no business meetings in our community, so we're going to do the best we can until all of our communities can have their own business meetings and talk about becoming vested as to where they can all grow their communities as a community. So, Brother Aziz, I'll let everybody give the information on who we are and how they can become members and how they can get in touch with us, and then we'll come back and finish up our steps.
Okay, Brother Bilal, thank you. And I really want to thank all of our professionals that spoke today, Ms. Williams, Ms. Baker, Brother Sam Harris, and yourself, and that. Man, I just pray that our listeners have taken and appreciate this value of what's been given out today. And the information is just outstanding. Appreciate that from all of y'all. Yes, the New Africa Business Association of Washington, D.C. Our email is New Africa Business Association, newafricaba@gmail.com, or nabassc@gmail.com. Also, our show is on every Wednesday from 7 to 8. p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and from 9 a.m. to 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's the second half of our show. And we have a call-in number, which is area code 657-383-1372. That's 657-383-1372. Also, for our Internet participants, you can listen to our show at blogtalkradio.com/NABASSC-URL. And that again is blogtalkradio.com/NABASSC-URL. And our other contact information is also area code 301-234-9090 and area code 202-903-7278. And back to you, Brother Bilal.
Okay, thanks so much for those identifications. I want to go back to all our speakers. And we're going to be doing got about 10 minutes. And so, Brother Harris, your closing.
I got a comment. I have a comment. I'm a guest listener.
Okay, I'm sorry. By all means, I'm sorry. And anyone else who's a guest speaker, we welcome your questions.
Yes, I'm coming to you from down south, and I would like to wholeheartedly extend appreciation to all of the professionals, Mr. Harris, Ms. Baker, Ms. Williams, everyone that participated. You really don't know how much information you've given out. You've given out a lot of information that has touched and is touching and is making and is opening the eyes of many, many people. Unfortunately, a lot of times that information has to come up, has to register fully with us before we can give you the compliments and really appreciate the information that you've been issuing. Please, please, please do not think that your information is falling on deaf ears. We have people sitting around here who are taking notes, who are writing things down, who are taking contact numbers, and some of the people are shy in terms of speaking out, so I was elected to be the spokesperson. And in being the spokesperson for those of us who are absorbing, listening, taking notes, and appreciating and trying to get our nickels and dimes and pennies together to participate in this mighty work that you people are advocating. And the most outstanding point to me personally and to us collectively is your vast and great and honorable professional knowledge. You have taken the time from your day, from your life, to help us. Though you may not hear from us in mass like you think you should, believe you me, the hammer is hitting the head of the nail. You guys do a great work. New Africa Business Association, Brother Bilal, Brother Aziz, and all of the professionals, Sister Baker, all of you, we are getting it. We are getting it. We are getting it. We're listening to your examples. We're listening to what you're saying. I got a book right here with 15 pages just tonight. So think not that this information is falling on deaf ears. We just don't have them high gears like you guys. You guys can change gears quickly and get on subjects real, real quickly. You know what I mean? It's your life. You're breathing it. We're trying to absorb, and you are doing a great job. God bless you, and thank you.
Thank you very much, bro.
Thank you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Great
feedback. We got about 5 minutes, and again, I want to personally thank all of my friends. Like I said, brothers and sisters, all the professionals, Miss Williams, Attorney Williams, and the accountant, Miss Baker. Those two have been with me. I think we've been working together now for at least 25 or 30 years. And I know from working with those two, we have helped many, many communities. And like I said, I thank them because they have never came up saying, I need a check. Or I need monies for this and that. They all, I mean, and I've been with Miss Williams, and I've seen her in her professional office, and sometimes I wonder how she makes money, because how she be telling clients, don't worry about it. And the, I said, my goodness, I'm a professional, but I know when I get my, when I do my work, I can't. I'm sorry. Yes, I'm trying to get paid. But I'm really good with this. And so, again, there's a lot of dedication to these professionals. So before I can keep them on here on you guys, let me just go ahead and close out. Brother Harris will be the Brothers and Sisters every Wednesday, the New Africa Business Association. We look forward to continuing our business broadcast, and we're going to continue our broadcast until our communities start having many, many more business meetings. And we ask that you start having New Africa Business Associations in your communities. We can help you to incorporate and become have your own New Africa Business Associations. But again, until then, every Wednesday, join us right here with the New Africa Business Association. Brother Aziz just give you a lot of the information, but go to our website, newafricabusinessassociation.com, Washington, D.C. newafricabusinessassociation.com, Washington, D.C., and just go through our website to our membership and join. We've cut our memberships in half. You'll see $100 where our memberships has been cut because of the pandemic. We're cutting our memberships in half, and it'll be like that indefinitely. So we love to have your memberships. And Brother Harris, we were asking now, I guess we all got about 2 minutes in closing. I'll start with you.
All right. Well, Brother Bonham, I want to thank you, Attorney Williams, Advisor Baker, thank you. I enjoyed the engagement, and it's iron sharpens iron. You know, we're not going to always agree, but we all are trying to go in the same direction. I know that. I wanted just to end with these two points. What is your FIN number? Please get with these advisors. If you don't have a financial plan, find out what your financial dependence number is. And then when it comes to building wealth, you got to have a blueprint. That blueprint is only as good as the architect that is designing it. If you get a set of blueprints and you go to the building inspector's department and you don't get what's called a permittable blueprint, your building cannot be constructed. It is the same way for your financial planning. It's the same way for your taxes. You got to make sure that you have the right people helping you. So I want to, again, thank you, Brother Aziz, Brother Bonham, Attorney Williams, and Advisor Baker.
Yes,
thank you all for
yes.
engaging with me.
Thank you.
All right. Miss Baker.
Yes. The thing that I like to end with is just basically, you know, that was some very good feedback. And us, you know, putting it all out there, you know, some of the sore things that people don't like to say or people don't want to hear. It's the only way that we can move forward to start to educate, even if we have to do it one by one. It's still possible. And just like you said, once it's out there and people do absorb it as to what needs to happen, because the financial piece is just a part of your life. And you, like you said, you have the shy ones and things like that. It's getting it out there. It's actually getting that progress, making that first step to actually get your financial plan in order, your business plan in order, and your wealth plan in order.
All right. Ms. Attorney Williams.
Yes, I'd like to say just a couple of things real briefly. Just know that each one of us are licensed professionals. We know where to go, how to do what we need to do, and how to help people. There are many times I call Ms. Baker for assistance and Brother Bynum for assistance. I already got my mind turning how I'm going to call Mr. Harris for assistance. We're all licensed professionals. We cannot go out of our lane. We are not supposed to do that. And in our case, our information from you and from the public is confidential. So you may call me anytime, even though you're in another state, and I might be able to help you just think through some things. So call me on 301-341-5577. Thank you so very much. This is Shalora Williams. Thank you.
And again, well, I want to thank again of all of our speakers. Again, this is Bilal Bynum with Bynums and Associates. You can always call us at 301-234-9090, 202-288. Brother Aziz, help me out.
Well, the in 202-903-7278.
Then that's the second number you can call. Always Bynums and Associates at bynumsandassociates@comcast.net. You can send us an email. So again, we thank you, and until next Wednesday. This is the New Africa Business Association saying good night.
Good night.